on being equipped for the journey that God has called us to go on as a family. We've been we've been all through the Encounter series looking at becoming a family, and now we're looking at, yes, God is moving us out from here together, and now we need to kind of make sure that we're on the same page and equipped to do what lies ahead. All right. And last week we looked at some basics. Like we mentioned, even in basic training, you need some basics. And in a military sense, it's good that everybody has the same understanding of certain terms. And I just want to encourage you on that although some of the stuff, like specifically last week, might sound familiar, listen to it as if you're going to be sharing it with somebody else. Listen to it as if you're going to be teaching someone else or walking the road with someone, because all of us have been called to make disciples. Amen? So the moment we listen to it in that way, I don't know about you, but I listen differently. I think, okay. Like the first time Pastor Sears asked me to teach at the Spiritual Growth Series, I was like, whoa. And then focusing, you know, okay, I need to get all this right. Because you have an understanding of the principles, the basic ones. And until you get to the place where you now have to walk the road with somebody else, then you kind of really dig in there. And it's really a blessing for both parties. So I want to just encourage you with that. But let's just pray as we get into the Word. God, we thank you that we can come together as a family, Lord. Thank you that we can celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness, God. We thank you that we can come boldly into your presence, that you've made a new and living way through your Son, Jesus. We do not have to be afraid, God, that we can come with an expectation to meet with you. And this evening, I thank you, Lord, that we can come with that expectation. And I pray, God, that each of us here tonight will leave with the knowledge that we have met with the living God, with that understanding, a greater understanding of who you are, Lord, and a greater desire to know you even more, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this evening we're getting down on to something that is at the core of even our existence and our role here, our purpose here on the earth. It's exciting to talk about stuff like this, something that I am passionate about. But before we get to exactly what that is, I just want to throw something out there. Have you ever been in a place in your walk with the Lord, or you know, in relationship with God, where you're kind of wrestling through something and it's not making sense and it's frustrating because you're kind of trying to get your head around it and trying to understand how this principle operates, or how to really understand what God is saying in a certain scripture? And then after some struggles and frustrating times and not getting breakthrough, then often that's what happened to me once or twice. You read a scripture that you've read before, and suddenly there's something else in there. And then you see the whole situation from a different perspective, and suddenly something clicks into place, and it makes more sense. And it's as if then, when we get a revelation like that from God, we are able to tap into the grace of God for that specific thing. And tonight I'm really trusting for us to tap into the grace of God about this thing we're going to be talking about. I think we often miss the grace of God in it. But I'm really trusting for that tonight, for us to see it from a different perspective and to grab all of the grace of God in that. Okay. Read with me from Matthew chapter 28, talking about the E word. Okay, let's just read the scripture first. Matthew 28, from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And this is what we refer to as the Great Commission. That charge that Jesus leaves with his disciples, with us, before he goes up to the Father. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, but I'm always struck with the fact that Jesus, knowing these were his last few moments with his disciples, these last few moments on earth, I'm sure he kind of carefully considered what he's going to say. And he decided this is what he's going to leave with him. This is like his parting words. Go into all the world and make disciples. And so it's with that kind of weight of his words that we take hold of this incredible commission that he gives us. And so we've been called to make disciples, not just converts, not just somebody that, you know, makes a decision, but somebody that is discipled in terms of receiving teaching, and walking a road with someone to a place where they live in a fullness of relationship with God. Not only like a measure of it, but it's really a place of walking a road with someone until they can do the same with somebody else. So you've not made a disciple until the disciple has made a disciple. Does it make sense? So that process is kind of perpetual if we really walk in the fullness of it. But when we say this word evangelism that we're looking at tonight, often there's like negative connotations around it. And but evangelism is crucial to the Great Commission. If you think about it, to be able to make a disciple, you have to start with bringing the person to a place where they open to walk this road. And so the whole discipleship process starts with evangelism. And I know when you say this E word, it's almost like a four-letter word in church. You know, people get uncomfortable. And often it's because of misconceptions we have. We almost feel a bit guilty because it's always like this part of us that feels like I'm not getting it right, or I'm not really effective, you know, in reaching out to other people. I see most of you don't have that problem. But, you know, that's just, and I believe it's because we have some misconceptions and because we fall under condemnation and we haven't really tapped into the grace of God in this area. So, I'm just, you know, it's funny. We trust God for healing. We trust God for provision. We wrestle with God and we kind of tap into His grace in so many things. And I believe this is an area where, I don't know if we just avoid it, but, you know, tonight I'm really trusting that we would really seek to tap into the grace that God has made for us to be able to fulfill this part of his purpose for us. Are you with me? Okay, so we're going to put our faith out for that tonight. So firstly, we're going to look at some misconceptions about evangelism. Like I said, there's some negative connotations. And because of some of these misconceptions, we often come under condemnation because we think, I'm not doing my duty. And we kind of want to go into the flesh because it feels like it's something I have to do and I have to tick this box. And if I'm not ticking this box, then I feel like I'm not really getting up to that standard of whatever, you know. And as we fall into works instead of walking in the grace of God. Okay, so let's look at one or two misconceptions. Firstly, have any of you heard of Billy Graham? One or two, Reinhard Bonnke, okay, a German guy. In any case, some of the most successful evangelists of our age, and I mean, they ministered to hundreds of thousands of people at one time. But evangelism does not only have to happen in a context like that. Okay, so if you're holding out, if you've got a message prepared, and you know you're keeping it for that day when you're standing in front of 1.6 million people like Reinhard Bonnke, then that's great, but have some other messages for when the group is smaller. What I'm saying is that for most of us, when the Lord works through us and ministers through us to somebody, it will be maybe one person at a time, or maybe two, or a small group of people. And we kind of, so there's that misconception of the big evangelism meeting, big crowds. But that's not only when evangelism happens. Evangelism happens in many ways, and we're going to look at them in a moment. Okay, so often it will be one at a time. And just on that point, it just struck me. I had the privilege of actually visiting one of Reinhard Bonnke's crusades, and it was a very small one. There were only about 200,000 people. I was very disappointed, I mean, it was crazy. But and while we were there, I heard an account of before that, of him at that crusade where they had 1.6 million people in one night, okay? It was just one of the nights. They had like, I don't know, I can't even imagine that many people, but in any case. And when they, after one of these nights, they came back to the hotel where they were staying, and Pastor, well, Evangelist Bonker, whatever you want to call him, he was with a whole lot of very high up important church guys, church leaders, etc. And they came into the lobby, and you know, they all like, that's now the group of leaders, and they said, just please excuse me for a moment, because there was somebody sitting in the foyer, and he sat down with that person and he shared the gospel with him after he just preached to 1.6 million people. And he had seen 1.2 respond. In any case, that's just that passion for souls, and that passion for to see God, to minister to people, starts with one person. You know, and if you've been faithful with that one, whether you like Lorena Bonker, a well-known guy, you know, so successful and so, you know, so powerfully used by God, whether it be 1.6 million or one person there in the foyer of the hotel, and everybody else has to stop and wait, because one person needs to hear. It's just incredible. Okay, so for most of us, it's going to be one at a time. Are you guys happy with that? It's not bad news, okay? Then, secondly, often we get this thing of, I must close the deal. Okay? We have this sometimes this misconception of, it's going to be from completely far from God to, yes, born again and relationship with God in one conversation. And if you can, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if water is nearby, will a baptism as well, you know. And we laugh about it, but often there's this pressure, okay, but I'm sharing with someone now, should I ask them if I could pray for them, or should I invite them? And there's this whole thing of, we must kind of push this process. But often it doesn't happen like that. Okay, often we... and just please, if you're visiting here tonight, please bear with us. We're dealing with specific things tonight. For where we're at as a family. But you know, it's often when we meet with someone and you want to share what God has done in your life. You know, it's good to have that understanding that wherever that person's at, God knows exactly where they're at. God has got great respect for where they're at. And at the moment we have an understanding of that, we can share what God has done in our lives, and we can understand that maybe that one thing that we say or that one thing that we do is going to move them one step closer to a relationship with God, where they can enjoy the love of God and they can enjoy fullness of relationship with Him. You know, and often even, you know, we hear people tell stories. And, I mean, I've done that. You know, you tell a story of, and you hear people tell stories of, say, that time I was on an airplane and I shared the gospel with somebody and they got saved and then they got spirit-filled as well. And often we can't relate with stuff like that. And I know it's I see sometimes people get very frustrated when I share stuff like that. Specifically, there's one time I was on a bus trip from Cape Town to Johannesburg. So it's very long, 18 or 20 hours. And I sat next to somebody, and the person was really open to hear about God. And so I shared with them, and they did respond to the word. So they were born again by about Laingsburg. I don't know if you know that. Can't remember exactly. And then they were filled with the Spirit as well. They received the Spirit on the bus. And then I happened to have purposefully took along some manuals of our spiritual growth series. So for the rest of the trip, we managed to cover quite a lot of the first part of that. But you know, you hear stuff like that, and sometimes when you hear things like that, people think, "But where do you come from? That's like completely out of my mindset, you know, this... stuff like that doesn't happen to me." And I just want to say, stuff like that can happen, but we're not always at the place where somebody is ready to make a decision. Okay, often we're at the place where somebody is asking questions, and we need to just share what God is, where they're at in that area, you know, what's relevant for them. Okay. So, understand that we meet people where they're at. God knows where they're at, and He respects that, and we need to respect that as well. Okay. Okay, so most of the time, that one act and that one word will just progress that person one step closer to relationship with God. Okay, good. Let's continue. So let's look at a few things that evangelism is, actually. If you want to read with me from Colossians chapter 1. From verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known, what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Okay, this is quite a mouthful. I'm just going to focus on two specific pieces. And the first one is from verse 27, the last bit there. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And evangelism is not a mystical thing that happens to only a select few people and they've got a specific gifting. And they kind of set aside, and very few of us go there. It's actually all that happens is evangelism happens when somebody catches a glimpse of Christ in you, and Christ in me. When through something you do or something we say, somebody recognizes something about Christ in us. That's when evangelism happens. Okay. So it happens when you care for someone. When you care for someone in a very practical way, when you reach out to someone, you help them with something, you serve them, and there's a place where they can connect with Christ in us. That love, as Romans says, that love that God has poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It happens when you've got an elderly neighbor and you help him to change a light bulb, something like that, something very simple and insignificant, but that's where it starts. Just a simple act of service. And it happens when you're kind to a colleague at work, when they're being mean to you and they're having a bad day and they don't deserve anybody's kindness, and you're just gentle and kind and you bless them and you serve them, make them a cup of coffee or something. Little things, little acts of service, or to your housemate or to somebody you've had a argument with at work or something. Just those little things, when somebody catches a glimpse of Christ in us, that's when evangelism happens, because they start to see something in us that's beyond ourselves. Okay. So it's not a very mystical thing. It's actually just a very natural outflow of our relationship with God. If you think about it, the more we get to know God, okay, the more we understand Him, the more we seek Him, the more we love Him, or we just understand how much He loves us, then we start to care about what He cares about. It's like it's when you're in any relationship, if you're in a friendship or in a relationship, when you love someone, you care about what that person cares about. Are you with me? And sometimes, you might even have a friend, and they have another friend, but in normal circumstances, you and that other friend wouldn't really be friends. Are you with me? But now, because you have a common friend, you know, kind of there's a connection, and you care about someone because you care about this other person. Okay, it's the same. And in our relationship with God, it starts with us. You know, when we stand in that incredible place of getting to grips what God has done for us, and we realize that God loves you and me so much. His love for us is so beyond what we can understand. It's demonstrated in the cross when he sent his son to die in our place. And kind of we wrestle with this huge thing and we think, well, you know, this is so incredible. But as we get to grips with that, we understand that that love that God has for me and for you is the same love that he has for every person out there. And as we get to know God, we start to care for people. We start not only to care for people's needs, like I said, very practical things, but we also start to care about this eternal salvation. So it's a natural outflow, you know. We realize, oh my goodness, look, I'm so overwhelmed by what God has done for me. I'm so, like, it's just mind-boggling. And I realize, but he's done the same for my neighbor. He's done the same for my friend or for my colleague. And I start to care about that person because I know God cares about them. And we start to care about the needs, and we start to care about the salvation. And we start to pray for them. Because we pray for people we care about. Again, it's just a natural process. But often I believe we miss it because we don't respond to that unction. Yes, pray, or yes, there's a need, or yes, there's something unnoticed. And we kind of, there's a little bit of a disconnect there, but we'll get to that in a moment. So there's this natural flow of I start caring about people because God cares for people. And I start praying for people because I pray for people that I care about. Okay. I don't know about you, but since coming into a relationship with God, I really look at people differently. I think that's probably one of the first things one notices is that before I couldn't care less, you know. People can just do what they want. I'll carry on with my thing, you know, as long as I don't get in the way of what I want to do, you know. But now, it's as if the Lord kind of makes us soft inside, and he makes us attentive to needs around us, and he makes us notice things, and notice people's needs, and notice people's plight around us, whether it be such a simple thing like helping your neighbor, or a colleague, whatever it might be. We notice and we care. We start caring about people. And then specifically in this scripture, and the last bit, actually, I'm just going to read it to you. in verse 29, Paul writes, he says, "To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." And we see that he speaks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then he speaks of that whatever he does is according to what God is working in him mightily. So it's not like we're going out on this big, we're not going out in the flesh and trying to do something in our own strength. We're going according to what God is doing in us. Because he's doing something mighty in us. And according to that, that's kind of out of that is an overflow to how we deal with people around us. It's not a big, I must now be an evangelist thing. It's just God is doing amazing things in my life. And I cannot but see that, you know, overflow into my relationship with other people. So we see that God is working in us and through us in a mighty way. So the challenge and the thing we stand before tonight is how to recognize and respond when we see God working mightily. When we see God doing something in me, but I can notice he's also busy doing something in people around me. He's also at work in my colleague at work who maybe isn't aware of it. Or maybe my neighbor who doesn't even believe in the God. But God is just as much at work in that person's life than he is in our lives. But whether they want God to work or whether they know about it is a different story. But God is at work. Okay, so in every situation, God is at work mightily and we can partner with him in that. So evangelism starts in those little acts of service and the little bits like of, you know, reaching out to other people. But then, for instance, with your neighbor, with the light bulb, whoa, sorry, wrong direction. You know, you help, you know, the one day you might help your neighbor with a light bulb. The next one you might ask him, you might, next time you see him, you might ask him, but how is that back of yours? The bad back. And then that time you'll maybe offer to pray. Say, can I pray for your back? And that's something I think it's often, it's intimidating, is to offer to pray for somebody. But please understand that it doesn't matter where you come from, if you're religious or not, doesn't matter what your background is. When somebody offers to pray for you, they're saying, I care about you. They're saying, I want to serve you with something. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter if they just believe the same as you do. Offering, prayer offering is mostly received as, I care for you. Very rarely, I've had it happen once or twice. People just kind of say, no, thank you. But it's very rare. Most of the time, people really experience that as I care about you. Okay. Let's read, if you want to read with me from Mark chapter 16. Last week we looked at this scripture, or the scripture leading up to this one, and we looked at it quite in depth. Basically the Great Commission, but in Mark, so it's his version of it. And verse 20, just after, basically after that commission, it says there, and it's talking about the disciples, and they went out and preached everywhere. Everywhere, okay? And there's the important thing here. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And this is one of those scriptures that, you know, if it wasn't for this, or if it wasn't for this principle, my life would be different. Because this is kind of so powerful in that God sends us out to do something, and but he's working with us. He goes before us. He prepares the way. He comes behind us. He picks up where we missed it. He's working with us. And that's such an incredible, it's such a miraculous thing if you think about it, that the King of the universe, the creator of everything, is working with you and I. It's like the elephant and the ant. Sorry. You know that story of the elephant and the ant walking across the bridge? They're friends, and the ant is on the shoulder of the elephant. And they're having a chat while they're walking over the bridge, and it's one of those bridges in Africa, and it's just going all over the place. And when they crossed it, the ant looks back and said, "Yo, buddy, did you see how we made that bridge shake?" You know? And so in our partnership with God, it's often like that. You know, our part might be small, but it's still very important. And God chooses to work through us. He chooses to partner with us in the earth. Okay, it doesn't matter whether, you know, God does the healing, God does the providing, you know, we just kind of, we provide that very important link between God and the person that he's wanting to reach. Okay, but now, the amazing thing from this scripture is that God is ready to perform his word. He is ready to confirm the word that you speak. And in other words, when you're in that place and you have asked about your neighbor's bad back and you have offered to pray, you can have the confidence that God is ready to perform his word. He's ready to respond. He's ready to bless that person. He's ready to heal. He's ready to provide. You know, when somebody is ill, whether it's a colleague or a neighbor, don't feel sorry for them and go on with your day. That is a massive opportunity. When somebody that you know around you is ill, it means there's an opportunity for them to know God as healer. There's an opportunity for them to taste and see that God is good. When somebody is in need of a job, it's not like, oh, I'm sorry for you. Obviously, like we said before, we serve them in a practical way. We do what we can practically. But that place of saying, listen, I'm gonna pray for you about this thing. Is that incredible opportunity for them to get to know God as their provider. to get to know God in a way that they haven't known God before. And so it's not a, you know, when somebody's ill or when somebody's in need in some way, see this as an incredible opportunity for that person to know God. You know, a friend of mine once, he started a business, started his own business. And can I say that often a lot of us here, we know people that have some kind of they have a hunger for God, but we don't really know where they're at in their relationship with God. Okay, they might be religious in a way, but we don't really know where they're at. Okay, I know a lot of people like that. Okay, they're not completely against God. They go to church now and again, but we don't really know where they're at. Okay, and this friend of mine was a bit like that. It was so cool because I just realized this is an opportunity. He was going to start his business in a little part of a different shop where he was also working at, like a workshop. And I said to him, listen, we're going to pray now. We're going to anoint this little workshop of yours, and we're going to trust God, and we're going to trust for his favor and his provision, and that he's going to bless this business of yours. And it was just the grace of God that I actually just went, and we made a date, and we went early in the morning, and we went to pray. And it was such a blessing, because firstly, he really received it as me caring for him, okay? And secondly, it was an opportunity for him to get to know God as his partner in the business, and to get to know God as his provider. And God has prospered that business. It's mind-boggling to see what God has done. He started in a little corner of somebody else's workshop. He's now working still from a garage, like at least it's a three-car garage. But he's just landed the contract for the maintenance of the biggest manufacturer of bicycle parts in the world. Just out of his garage. Okay, no, I don't know how that happens, but the Lord has been prospering him and blessing him. And every time we talk about his business, he says, remember that time that you and I prayed? And he knows God has got his hand upon that business. And that's such, it's just a power. Whenever we find this little opportunities like that come across our path, somebody that's ill, somebody that's in need, somebody that needs to know an aspect of God, don't try and avoid the issue, but say, Lord, this is an opportunity for this person to know you as their healer, to know you as their provider, and to know that you are interested in them in such an amazing way. You know, often have you ever experienced, people know that you're a Christian, it seems like they're out to catch you out. You know, they're kind of pressing all the buttons, seeing if they can get you upset, seeing if they can get you to lose your temper. Okay, you haven't experienced that, maybe. But you must understand that people want to know if this is real. They see something in us, and they want to know, is this for real? Is this just fake? They want to taste. They want to taste and see that God is good. That's what Scripture says. And have you experienced when you see like a nice juicy grape? I love grapes. Okay, and you see this amazing juicy grape, and you grab it and you put it in your mouth, and it's an olive. Have you had that? It's not cool, eh? I mean, I love olives, but if you're expecting a grape, sweet, you know, juicy, olive is just not so nice, you know. And but, you know, often it's people but they want to see, is this really a grape? They want to taste, Is this this stuff that you're saying, I see you care about people, but is this for real? And they kind of start pushing the buttons and they're trying to see if this is real. They're tasting. It's like the little fish there underwater tasting the bait and before it commits. Okay. So I want to encourage you. Often people do that. Just take hold of the grace of God in that situation. Allow them to taste. Allow them to push the buttons. I always think of us like a sponge. A sponge that is saturated with water. If it's full of water, you kind of push it. What happens? The water comes out. And you know, I'm always thinking, Lord, may I be so full of the love of God that whenever somebody puts pressure on me or starts pushing my buttons, that all that comes out is just the love and the grace of God, not all other nasty things. You know, and that's something really, that's something we need to really tap into, the grace of God, especially at work, where there's pressure and there's difficult circumstances, difficult relationships, especially in when you're sharing a house. When somebody else mate doesn't do the dishes or doesn't do their bit, you know, there's really a place where we can tap into the grace of God there. But know that they want to taste, they want to see, they want to taste and see that God is good. And we play such an amazing role in that. But the important thing is here that the pressure is not on us. It's God that is doing something in us. It's Him that is working mightily in us. And what is, and according to that, we work. That is an out of an overflow of what God is doing in us. We touch the lives around us. Okay, good. We're gonna do a little bit of practical things tonight, just to not stay, you know, get too theoretical. So, just in terms of when you're chatting with someone, okay, when you're just practically engaging with someone about spiritual things, one of the first things you kind of wanting to have insight over is to get an understanding of, like I said at the beginning, where is this person at? And you know, you can't make assumptions, you can't just assume this and this and this. You know, we need to have respect for where somebody's at, where they're coming from, where they're going, what is their understanding of things, so that we can meet them there where they're at. And share out of our own lives, okay? So, if we call it the alphabet, okay? Say, if A is from a point where somebody is maybe not really interested in God, or maybe even, you know, agnostic or atheist, right to the other end of the spectrum where somebody is really keen, like I said, they open to hear about things of God, they're interested, they might come to church, etc., but then the place where they want to receive Christ, okay? So, firstly, you want to kind of get a feel for where they're at on this path. Okay, are you with me? And then there's one or two ways that you can kind of get a feel for that. And for instance, just practically, a question you can use is, are you a spiritual person? These days, there's lots of kinds of different spirituality, so you can ask, how do you experience your spirituality? How do you feel about it? How does it work practically? And immediately, you can kind of get an idea, okay, this is where they're at, this is kind of the background they have. Or you can specifically ask for the background, okay, what did religion feature in your background? What is your background in terms of religion? Religion is a word people understand mostly, and then they can kind of, you can talk about stuff like that. It's non-threatening. You can chat about, well, this is how I grew up, this is how I grew up, you know, and then there's, you kind of get a feel for where they're coming from. And then, if you know, then a follow-up question from that one could be, what changed? If you did grow up you did grow up in a religious environment, you know, what happened? Are you still, you know, do you still live in that type of lifestyle, or has anything changed? Okay. For example, on Thursday night, Ignatius and I went to the psychic fair there in Weybridge. You must really join us sometime. It was great fun. It's really amazing. It's a place where people they're searching spiritually. People are looking for answers. There are all kinds of different people offering answers that they believe are correct. And people that come and offer services, and people that come to receive, all basically looking for answers. And it's really an amazing place where we can really trust God to chat to people, you know. And we chatted to this one lady, and for example, in her case, I could ask her, listen, yeah, what is your... It's actually quite funny because, you know, sometimes it's difficult to steer a conversation to get to spiritual stuff, okay? Especially if it's a colleague. But if you're at a psychic fair, it's easier, okay? But in any case, so we chatted about things, and she asked if Ignatius and I were brothers. So I took that as a compliment. But then I said, yes, in a way. And then later on, she asked again about us being brothers, and you know. And then I said, we're not biologically brothers, we're spiritual brothers. And then she was very interested because she said, she's got a spiritual sister. And then we got chatting about that. And then I could ask, okay, but what is your background in spiritual things? You know, did you grow up in a religious environment? And immediately, you know, there was a connection because she could say, yeah, no, I actually went to church when I was little, and I used to go to Sunday school, and we could talk about that. And I could ask, okay, but what changed? And we could have a chat around that. And it was so amazing because it ends up, we did offer to pray for her, and it ends up she needs a job. And so we prayed for her. And I tell you guys, you need to put your faith with mine. But I've got such a confidence that the Lord is going to provide her with a job, even this week. Because He wants to show Himself to her. And, you know, it's so exciting because I know God is going to provide for her in a way that she will know that God has answered a prayer. And He's reaching out to her and He's interested in her life. So that's, you know, just as an example, just to engage somebody. The first thing you want to do is to get a feel for where they're at. And once you have a feel for where they're at, you respect where they're at, respect where they're coming from. And from that place, the next step is to kind of get an understanding, or trust God to see what God is doing in their life so that you can partner with God in that and minister in that area. So in that case, she was looking for a job. And I believe God is wanting to provide for us so we can partner with God in that by asking Him. Okay. We're going to look at a bit more at this type of thing in detail down the line. And specifically when Pastor Sias comes, I want to really encourage you, if you can at all be there, that's going to be crucial in terms of us really partnering with the Holy Spirit in terms of reaching out to people. Okay. But now in terms of practically tonight, we're going to do some group work. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to be able to switch off the mic for a bit and have you do some talking. This is always great. And before we do that, one of the ways that we have of sharing what we believe with other people. Now you must please get me wrong. Don't get me wrong here. It's not because we disrespect people. It's just sometimes an opportunity like this does propose, does come along, and we need to kind of be ready for it. Okay, so sometimes this can happen unplanned, and sometimes it can happen deliberately. Okay, for instance, I once sat on a plane next to somebody, or actually it happened a few times, and we got talking about spiritual things in general, then spiritual things, and then talking about, gospel, and shared a bit of my testimony. And then whether that person, sometimes the person would be very open to hear, sometimes not so open. But often I would notice the people around, because it's an airplane, sit quite close. And you would see somebody's moving like this. The guy across the path kind of moving his paper. He's just like trying to hear what this guy's saying. And then you just talk a bit louder. For the sake of everyone, so they don't put their neck out, But then it's so cool, because then you know that when you're sharing your testimony, you're sharing what God has done in your life, how you've experienced the power of God, and how you've experienced the love of God, and there's a whole lot of people being blessed, even though you're not directly confronting them or speaking to them, okay? So it happens like that by accident, but it can also happen deliberately. So when you and your friend are on the tube, or on a bus, or wherever. This is actually quite fun. I want to really encourage you guys to try this. You sit down and you have just a normal conversation. And that your friend asks you, tell me about what happened in your life when you. I heard that you have a relationship with God. Tell me about that. How did that happen? How did you come to faith in God? And then you can answer them with as much detail as you can remember. And then inevitably there's a lot of people around that are being blessed by your testimony and by your experience with God, and without you kind of forcing anything on them. If they don't want to hear, they can move up. Have you ever listened to somebody's conversation on the tube? I just hear that. Yeah, sometimes you can't help it. Okay? So that's really cool. It's one of those ways that, you know, we can deliberately do it. And that's what we're going to practice in the groups. We're going to divide up into groups now. And we're going to basically have just an opportunity to share where you're at in terms of a relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you believe in Him? Have you come to a place where you have faith in Him? When you have been born again, if yes, or how did you get there? If you haven't, you know, where are you at now? That's kind of the first bit. The second bit, if you are, or if you have experienced some level of relationship with God or some kind, how did you experience baptism? Or what are your thoughts on baptism, on water baptism? And then, if you have time, the same for Holy Spirit. Do you have a relationship with Him? How do you experience the Holy Spirit? Do you experience Him? And so we're just going to touch on those very briefly. And again, if you're visiting tonight, please don't feel obliged to lay it all out there. You know, just as you feel comfortable to please share in the groups. But I want to really encourage you that tonight's about, you know, just getting practical around you sharing this is where I'm at. And this is how I experience it. And so we're just going to take a few minutes to do that. Is that good? I was keen for that. So just, do you want to say?